If you would this evening to the book of Genesis chapter 15. The book of Genesis chapter 15. And we wish to look at the words that we have in verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. We're looking through some of the major events in the Old Testament, and it's not surprising that when we come to the likes of Abraham, we stop and look at a few things with regards to Abraham, because he is the father of the faithful. If you've ever been out in the countryside, sure, many of you will have seen fields that are yellow with flowers. Imagine a field that's filled with flowers. Well, before it ever gets there, it has to first of all grow up. And then what happens is you see one or two flowers breaking forth in the field. The New Testament is like a field where the flowers are budded forth and are showing brightly. It's like a field that you're looking at that is covered in flowers. But in the Old Testament, it's like there's a lot of buds there. The buds are there, but there's the odd flower here and there that's already blossomed. And the text that we've got this evening is one such flower. The Old Testament has many buds ready to flower, and they don't come burst forth until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this one text is way back in the Old Testament, way back in the 15th chapter of the Old Testament, and there you have justification by faith, and by faith alone. You don't need to wait until you get into Paul's epistle to the Romans. You don't need to wait until you come to the New Testament. There it is, away back there in Genesis chapter 15. How do we know that? How do we know that this is a chapter that is the full blossom of the gospel about it? Well, we know it because the Holy Spirit has told us that that is the case. When you come to Paul's epistle to the Romans, you have in chapter 1, the Gentiles are sold under sin. Chapter 2 and into chapter 3, you've got the Jews are sold into sin. So that Paul says there is none righteous. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And at the end of chapter 3, you have a short synopsis of how a man is justified. He's justified by faith and by faith alone. And when you go into chapter 4, he goes right back to Abraham, the father of the faithful, and he shows how he was justified by faith. And this text that we have, Paul quotes in chapter 4 and verse 3. It's a wonderful way of remembering the opening chapters of Paul's epistle to the Romans. As he comes to chapter 4, he comes to Abraham, the father of the faithful. And he says, as it was spoken of Abraham, Abraham believed, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So there you have justification, that glorious way in which a sinner is justified before God. You have it away back with Abraham in the 15th chapter of Genesis. This evening we want to look, first of all, at Abraham's faith. We want to look at Abraham's faith. We then want to look at the object of his faith. We want to look at the effect or the outcome of that faith. Very straightforward. The faith, the object of faith, and the outcome or the effects of that faith. First of all then, we come to Abraham's faith. Abraham's faith. we are told in chapter 15 and verse 6 is, and he believed. He believes. It's the first time in Scripture you get this stated. He believed. You get it before here. You don't get it. This is the first time you have someone saying he believed. Now, when Abraham believes, it's not just that he gives assent to what God has said. It's one thing to say, well, I agree with what God has said. And many a person can actually do that, can give assent to what the Bible says, and yet not be saved. That's not the type of faith that that we're speaking of here with regards to Abraham. It's not just giving an assent to what God has said. When it says here that Abraham believed, the very root from that word is that he comes and he leans everything upon the Lord. He puts the whole weight of his trust upon what God has said. Sometimes it is referred to as simply believing and faith and trusting and resting upon. Abraham here comes and he rests everything on God and what God has told him. He's simply trusting. It's like you can have a reed that's very brittle, isn't it? It's very brittle. But you tie that reed up to something that's strong, and that becomes like a pillar. It becomes very strong. And Abraham rests upon the things of God so that he becomes strong. Because he's resting and trusting everything upon what the Lord has said. Now, the very nature of that faith is that it is trusting and resting upon the Lord. It doesn't say that Abraham has strong faith all the time in what his circumstances are. A person may have weak faith. A person may not be strong in faith. The very opening chapter of the verse in the chapter implies that Abraham is afraid. Abraham's afraid. The Lord comes to him and says, we saw that, didn't we? Abraham, fear not. Don't be afraid. And yet, despite whatever faith, however strong our faith may be, however weak we may be in other areas and all the rest of it, Abraham is righteous because of this faith. The very nature of faith that comes and trusts unreservedly on what the Lord has said to him. You know, when you look at that type of faith and the very nature of saving faith, there's only one way in which a person can come to such faith. And that is by the work of God's grace in your life. It's by a new birth. It's the only way Abraham could ever come to such faith. It's by the sovereign, saving grace and the work of God's Spirit on his soul, bringing him to trust and rest and lean upon the Lord. He believed in this way. And the second thing we want to know about this faith is that this is the faith that was commended by the Lord. This type of faith, saving faith, is the faith that is commended by the Lord himself. It is the Lord that accounted unto him for righteousness. This sort of faith, and this faith alone, that comes and trusts and rests and leans and casts itself wholly upon the Lord is the faith that is commended by the Lord. A vague faith about God, as we will go on to see, a vague faith about a God that is unknown, a God that is sort of a power, a higher power, or some of that is not the faith that God commends. It's the faith that Abraham exercises here, which is that trusting, resting, leaning wholly upon the Lord, that the Lord commends, and it is able to say that he believed and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now, there might be somebody that says, well, you need that faith in order to be right with God. You need that faith at the beginning. When you set out in the Christian road, you need that faith. But then once you're right with God, and once you've got justified, and once you can then, after that, add your own works and your own righteousness to it, you can then work your own righteousness after that. And all you need is this faith at the outset of your Christian walk, but you don't really need it after that. But you see, we discover here that Abraham is not just setting out on his road. Abraham has had faith when he left out of the Chaldees. Abraham has had faith as he made his way down into the promised land. Abraham has had faith as he has sojourned in the promised land. Abraham needs that faith, that justifying faith, even now, when he's been on the road for a long time. At this point in time, he cannot rest upon his own righteousness, even though he's had a life that has been an amazing life. Even though he has shown his faith in so many ways, yet even Abraham, the father of the faithful, even at this time, he could not rest on his own righteousness or his own works. He set out by faith, and now as he is on the road, he still needs to be justified by faith. Now we had best take that on board, hadn't we? That no matter who we are, we may have said, well, we've set out by faith. We're justified by faith. But now that we're on the road, and perhaps we're doing this, that and the other, we can now trust upon our own works. Not at all. Abraham was one who had been on the road for quite some time as a man of faith. And yet at this point in time, in his testimony, it is said of him that, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it unto him for righteousness. Well, we're baptized, aren't we? We're members of the church because we've been baptized, or we're baptized because we're members of the church. Paul deals with that, actually. It's not only that Abraham here can't trust in his righteousness, but neither can he trust in circumcision. The Jews trusted in circumcision. They trusted in the law. Paul says, well, if Abraham trusted in the law, he was never justified, because Abraham was justified by faith before he was ever circumcised. Abraham is justified by faith, and he's never yet been circumcised. You see, when you come to Abraham, you're narrowing it down all the time. It's not his own righteousness, it's not his self-righteousness, and it's not his outward privileges like circumcision or anything else. Paul uses that in chapter 4 to show how the Jews, who rested and trusted upon their outward keeping of the law, and particularly with circumcision, he said, well, that's the case, then Abraham wasn't saved. Because Abraham was justified by faith before he was ever circumcised. We can't trust in simply baptism or our works. To Abraham, it wasn't the righteousness of the law, and neither was it his own righteousness that could save him. Right away back at Genesis chapter 15, we have been shown that it wasn't the righteousness of the law that would save Abraham, and it wasn't his own righteousness that saves Abraham. Abraham was saved because his faith was counted unto him for righteousness. His faith. It shows us, doesn't it, the importance of having saving faith. Not just a mere assent to the things of the Bible, not just a mere acknowledgement of the things of the Bible, not simply being baptized, not in what we do. What is fundamental is that we have saving faith. Paul says that. Paul emphasizes that through Romans, but he's only doing what the Bible has said right from the beginning. A man is saved by his faith. By faith alone. It was one of the key points, one of the key issues that was brought to the fore at the time of the Reformation. There was a glorious reaffirmation about salvation by faith alone, without the deeds of the law. If Abraham had whereof to boast in his works, he says, not before God, because he had nothing to boast. He is justified by his faith. And that brings us perhaps neatly on to the second point, the object of his faith. Because Abraham is specifically told here that it is his faith, this faith, by which he is righteous. Now, what is the object of that faith? Well, we're told, and he believed in the Lord. He believed in the Lord. Abraham knew the Lord. What a wonderful relationship the Lord, that Abraham had with the Lord. When you read through it, and when you see how the Lord came and blessed Abraham, and you see him going up even into the mountains and worshipping the Lord, what a wonderful relationship the Lord, Abraham has with the Lord. Abraham comes and puts his trust in the one who is his father in heaven. Wonderful relationship he's got, because he's, and he knows the Lord. And now he comes and puts his trust in one whom he knows. One whom he has. It is God himself, the Lord himself, that Abraham, he puts his trust in, the Lord himself. One that he knows, by experience, one that he has had communion and fellowship. He trusts in the Lord. One whom he has known. And because of that, he is able to trust in the promise that the Lord has given to him. He's trusting in the promise that the Lord has just given to him about an heir and a son. Abraham is concerned about a son. Now, why should Abraham be justified in this way? Why should he be counted righteous just because God says to him, your seed will be like the stars in heaven? Why is it that such a promise should end up in his trusting in such a promise, bring to Abraham that he is righteous before God? Why is that? Why should such a promise like that be counted to righteousness for him because he believes it? Well, because the promise that the Lord has given to Abraham here, it's not just the promise of his seed being like the sand upon the seashore. Abraham is looking, surely, and has been given the desire for that seed because he's doing what all the patriarchs of the Old Testament have done, and that is that they have been looking for the Messiah. They have been looking for the promised seed. They have been looking for the one who has been promised in Genesis chapter 3:15. How do we know that that is what they were looking for? Well, again, Paul, who in his epistle to the Hebrews, he tells us that. He tells us that that was what the patriarchs of the Old Testament were basically consumed with. Their looking to the Lord wasn't just a mere matter of religion to them. They were obsessed and taken up with one thing. And Paul tells us what that one thing is. These all died in faith. Here it is. Abraham would die in faith. These men, these patriarchs would die in faith, not having received the promises. They're looking for the promises. But having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They were seeking another country. They were persuaded of the Messiah. They embraced the promises of the coming Christ. When the Lord comes to Abraham and speaks to him and shows him, Abraham has no children. Lot has no sons. We know that. The only one in his house is this Eliezer, his servant, who probably descends from Nimrod. Who knows? But there is no seed. And Abraham is given a great desire that he would have children, that there would be a son, that he would be shown where this seed would come from. And the Lord comes and he says, and he gives Abraham a promise in a vision, fear not. And Abraham prays to him about that I go childless. He's looking for a son. This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards the heavens and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said, so shall thy seed be. There will be a great blessing given to Abraham and to Abraham's seed, that the Lord would bestow upon Abraham a great blessing. I think it's Calvin that makes 2 points, I think. First of all, Abraham's not just looking at one part of the promise, he's looking at the wider promise that God is giving here of the great blessings. Not just one part of it. And he's looking for that particular seed, the Messiah. Abraham is looking for the Christ that would come. And that's the faith by which Abraham is counted as righteous. It's that faith. It's that faith that it's the faith and the faith that Abraham has in the Christ who is to come. And what a promise that beholds for the future for Abraham. Someone else might come and say things to Abraham. Someone else might come along and give platitudes to Abraham about having children. But God has come and promised him that he would bless him. And not only that, that there would be a great blessing to those who cannot even number the sky, the stars from the sky. And Abraham believes and trusts and rests and leans upon that. What a wonderful future that faith gives to Abraham. God is going to give him a token, even when he tells him to divide up these animals, and Abraham would keep the animals away, the birds from, you know, while he's there, he's able to keep them. But then he falls asleep in the middle of the night, and the ravens come down, and God says, that's what's going to happen to your seed. That's what's going to happen. They'll be in bondage for 400 years, but God won't forget them. And God will come down in the midst of them. And God will be... See, Abraham's been given tokens of God's mercy and his love. He's giving a sign of God's covenant faithfulness to the promise that he's made in Genesis 3:15, that he's reiterated and he's going to reiterate. And here we come to a flower that blossoms early on in the scripture about how a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, faith in Jesus Christ, faith in the Saviour, faith in the Messiah. And what was the effect for Abraham of such faith? He said, faith that is resting, that is commended by God, faith that just doesn't see him through at the beginning, but through all the days of his life, it's that faith that comes and trusts in the word of God, the promises of God, the promise of a Messiah, of the Christ. And what's the effect of that? Well, the effect is that Abraham has no righteousness of his own. No righteousness. Romans 3, chapter 10, there is none righteous. No, not one. Not even Abraham can claim a righteousness of his own. Paul says that in Romans 4, chapter 4 and verse 2. For all the wonderful faith and for all the wonderful life and for all the wonderful relationship that Abraham had with the Lord, at the end of it, all his own righteousness are but rags, filthy rags, before the Lord. He's not going to be justified by his works. And my friend, if that's true of Abraham, the father of the faithful, is it not true of you and me? Is it not true that we will not be justified by any righteousness of our own? That if someone like Abraham wasn't justified by works, then neither will we. But the second thing you'll notice as well is that it's not merely the act of faith that justifies Abraham. We've often said it. Faith itself will actually save nobody. Faith itself doesn't procure righteousness for anybody. A man can have faith in a God, can have faith in a divine being, can have faith in many things, and yet be lost. Because faith itself is not the first cause. Faith is not the first cause. Christ and the finished work of Christ alone is the first cause. The love and the mercy of God to hell-deserving sinners, that is, well, faith they call the formal cause. It's the formal cause. The efficient cause is to be found in God, the one, the object of faith. It's Christ that saves the sinner. It's Christ that is the one. It is when faith comes and trusts alone in God's goodness and his mercy and his love. It's that faith that rests upon the Lord and in the Lord and all the grace and mercy that is to be found with him. And what happens when Abraham or a sinner has such a faith? To come and to rest upon the promises of God that are to be found in the Christ of God? Well, it says he counted him as righteous in his sight. That word counting there, he counted him. Sometimes it's called he's reckoned to be counted, he's accounted, he's counted, he's reckoned to be. Sometimes in the scripture you will find that sins are accounted to a person. Sometimes sins are accounted. The man, in Leviticus it says, the man who comes with that sacrifice, and if that sacrifice is accepted, his sins are not counted to him. Blessed is the man whose sins are not imputed to him. Phinehas, that we sang of in the Psalms, he was one who did a mighty work, and it was imputed to him. In other words, it was counted to him. Abraham is counted as righteous before the Lord. He's counted as righteous. He's approved of God. God looks upon him as one who is righteous. My friend, the sinner who has saving faith in Jesus Christ, God looks upon Christ and he accounts them as righteous. Your sins are seen no more. There is a propitiation. That is, his anger is turned away. There is an expiation. Your sins are covered. And you are counted as righteous in His sight. What a wonderful encouragement in the midst of all his fears that must have given to Abraham. What about an heir? What about the seed? What about the promises? And Abraham is given a token of God's love and mercy to his people. And he is encouraged in the midst of fearful days that he is right and he is righteous and he is counted as righteous in God's sight. And that is because he has trusted in the Christ of God. And what is said of Abraham is said of every true believer, whether that be a believer in the Old Testament, whether it be at the time of the Apostle Paul, when Paul wrote his letter to the church at Rome, or whether it be a believer today. You are justified. Condemnation is removed, and you're counted as righteous in his sight. Only for the righteousness of Christ, which is imputed to you and received by faith alone. Faith alone receives the righteousness of God. Faith alone is the means by which that righteousness is received. And at the same time, our sins are imputed to him. Our sins are carried away on that cross that we spoke of this morning. Our sins are cast upon him. And there's that exchange, if you like. You are counted as righteous, and he was accounted as a sinner. Our sins placed upon him. And our sins are washed away in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That brings us then, just finally, have we sought the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ? We may be very weak in our faith. We may have many fears in our lives. We may have many failings and faults that carry with us all the days of our lives. We are at best poor sinners. Poor sinners. And we're even poorer Christians. All too often. And if you're going to rest, or any of us are going to rest on our own righteousness, then we could echo the words of another who said, if God were to mark iniquity, who would stand? You wouldn't stand, and I wouldn't stand. None of us would stand. And let me tell you something else. Not even Abraham himself would stand. There's only one thing at the end of the day that secures the future for a poor sinner, and that is that Christ Jesus died for sinners. And when you come and when you lean and trust upon him alone for your salvation, it can be said, and he believed in the Lord, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Perfectly righteous. before the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and ever blessed Lord, we thank Thee that we this evening are able to come into Thy house and into Thy presence, and we're able to read of Abraham. And Abraham giving us such a wonderful encouragement, because which one of us can even attain to the life of an Abraham? Which one of us could even attain to all that he achieved in his life? How he left Ur of the Chaldees, how he sojourned in a strange land, how he was one who was looking for a better country, for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Which one of us, even in this room today, could attain to the life of faithful Abraham, who was the friend of God? Not one of us could attain to what he achieved, and yet he himself was not even saved by what he did, but he was saved alone by faith. Faith in the Messiah. Faith in the one, the seed that would come. Faith in the promise that God gave to him that his seed would be as the stars that are up in the sky. When he looked up, he couldn't even count them. What a great blessing. And what a blessing that would flow from the seed of the woman. We pray this evening that we too would be found trusting in the Lord and in him alone for all our salvation. We pray that we would seek the righteousness which is a righteousness which is not our own, but the righteousness of God, thine own righteousness, a righteousness that thou hast worked out, a garment of righteousness by which thou wilt clothe thy people. Lord, we pray that as we look upon the Bible this evening and we see even one flower beginning to bud in the Old Testament, we bless thee. That when we come into the New Testament, we see a garden full of flowers that are blossomed, buds that have burst forth. We pray that this evening we would trust in thee and in thee alone. Bless us now and pardon us, and part us with thy fear and in thy blessing. For Jesus' sake we ask it all. Amen.